research facilities at our gigantic modern research facility at Butte, Montana, and we wouldn't have to go to Butte, Montana, would we? She was one of those neat, snug women who can still look pretty with their brows furrowed. Her true role in life would be to operate a USO canteen, but here she was in this white-collar ghetto in the middle of Long Island. No, no, Dortmunder said with an honest smile. Most of the housewives he met in the course of business left him cold, but every once in a while he ran across one like this who hadn't been lobotomized by life in the suburbs, and the contact always made him cheerful. She's sprightly, he thought, and smiled some more at the rare chance to use a word like that, even in interior monologue. Then he turned the smile on the customer and said, You write to them in Butte, Montana. You tell them you want to know about, Anguilla, she suggested. Sure, Dortmunder said, as though he knew just what she meant. Anything you want, and they send you the whole story. My, she said, and looked again at all the promo papers spread around her neat living room. And don't forget the 5 annual roundups, Dortmunder told her, to keep your encyclopedia right up to date for the next 5 years. My, she said. And you can reserve the whole thing, Dortmunder said, for a simple $10 deposit. There had been a time when he had been using the phrase measly $10 deposit, but gradually he'd noticed that the prospects who eventually turned the deal down almost always gave a visible wince at the word measly. So he'd switched to simple, and the results had been a lot better. Keep it simple, he decided, and you can't go wrong. Well, that's certainly something, the woman said. Do you mind waiting while I get my purse? Not at all, Dortmunder said. She left the room, and Dortmunder sat back on the sofa and smiled lazily at the world outside the picture window. A man had to stay alive somehow while waiting for a big score to develop, and there was nothing better for that than an encyclopedia con. In the spring and fall, that is. Winter was too cold for house-to-house work, and summer was too hot. But given the right time of year, the old encyclopedia scam was unbeatable. It kept you in the fresh air and in nice neighborhoods. It gave you a chance to stretch your legs in comfortable living rooms and chat with mostly pleasant suburban ladies, and it bought the groceries. Figured 10 or 15 minutes per prospect, though the losers usually didn't take that long. If only 1 out of 5 bit, that was $10 an hour. On a 6-hour day and a 5-day week, that was $300 a week, which was more than enough for a man of simple tastes to live on, even in New York. And the $10 bite was just the perfect size. Anything smaller than that, the effort wouldn't be worth the return. And if you went up above $10, you got into the area where the housewives either wanted to talk it over with their husbands first or wanted to write you checks. And Dortmunder wasn't about to go cash a check made out to an encyclopedia company. The few checks he got at the $10 level, he simply threw away at the end of the day's business. It was now nearly 4 in the afternoon. He figured he'd make this the last customer of the day, go find the nearest Long Island Railroad station, and head on back into the city. May would be home from Bohacks by the time he got there. Should he start packing the promo material back in his attaché case? No, there wasn't any hurry. Besides, it was psychologically good to keep the pretty pictures out where the customer could see what she was buying until she'd actually handed over the 10 spot. Except that what she was really buying with her $10 was a receipt, which he might as well get out, come to think of it. He opened the snaps on the attaché case beside him on the sofa and lifted the lid. To the left of the sofa was an end table holding a lamp and a cream-colored European-style telephone, not normal Bell issue. Now, as Dortmunder reached into his attaché case for his receipt pad, this telephone said, very softly, "Tit-tit-tit-tit-tit-tit-tit-tit." Dortmunder glanced at it. His left hand was holding the lid of the case up. His right hand was inside holding the receipt pad, but he didn't move. Somebody must be dialing an extension somewhere else in the house. Dortmunder frowned at the phone, and it said, "Dit." A smaller number that time, and probably a 1. Then, "Dit," said the phone again, which would be another 1. Dortmunder waited, not moving, but the phone didn't say anything else. Just a 3-digit number. A high